Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here. It's time to kick off another week with a great trip report, and we're getting ready to sit down with listener Ronald to talk about an amazing Disney vacation. So stand by for that. It's a virtual vacation right in front of you. But first, a word from our great sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. That is author Jeff Barnes' site, where you can get two great books. You can get the original, The Wisdom of Walt, and you can get the newer book, his newest. It's Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. And if you drop by the website right now and click on books at the top, you can see that you can get a special, both books, signed by author Jeff Barnes for a great price. So get them both. You can also buy them on Amazon as well. You can get ebooks and audiobooks too. And hey, drop by the website as well and check out the blog. Jeff walks us through some of his great experiences as a motivational speaker and ties that into Walt Disney himself. So check them out today. We love their support and we love when you support them. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park visit every day. And isn't that your dream? Customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the price of a couple of those, the Peter Pan floats back in Fantasyland? Or maybe something new from the cantina over at Star Wars Land when that opens up? You're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1382 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope you're having a great kickoff to your week, and we appreciate it each and every time you come back for some Disney talk to start a new work week. We're going to make it through this week together. But there's one way to get through, whether it's a run, maybe you're walking the dog, or maybe you're just tackling the inbox here on a Monday at work. We're going to take a virtual trip to Walt Disney World today. So with me, we're talking to Ronald up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by way of Miami, Florida. Both two places I really want to visit. How's it going today, Ronald?
Good, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great. We got to talk some baseball before we started recording, so that's always a good thing. You're a former college baseball player. I love to hear that.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, and a big Disney fan, and we're going to talk about a particular trip for most of the show from this past January that was a large group trip, lots of cool dynamics to it, but you go to a lot of the Disney destinations, don't you?
Yeah, growing up in Miami, it was very, a three-hour drive to Disney World, then Vero Beach, that resort is only about 3 hours also away. We've been to the Hilton Head Island one. And then this year we hit a couple new places that I was excited to go to, Disneyland, Aulani. So it was a nice year for us, at least.
Absolutely. I think that's a year that everybody, you talk about the year of a million dreams. It sounds like that's what it was for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this, as somebody who grew up in Florida, South Florida, I think it'd be very cool. And speaking of baseball in Miami, I mean, when I was in high school, that's one of the places I wanted to go because I was a ball player myself. I wanted to go to Miami or Texas or Arizona State, some of the best ball schools in the country.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Now, growing up in Florida, though, is Disney kind of in your blood? Because I like to talk to people that grew up down there, because it would seem like, if you grew up in St. Louis, like you have on, when you're a baby, you're born and they put a cardinal onesie on you. And it's like, it's just part of your life. I mean, is Disney kind of that way down there?
Not for everyone. You'll be surprised. I mean, my family, thank goodness we got into it. My dad loved it. He went for his first time when he was 18 and he just kind of saw how great it was. He stayed at the Contemporary and he was like, this is one of the greatest things he's ever seen in his life. And he grew up in Venezuela, so they've never seen anything like that. And ever since then, he was like, I was obsessed. And then he took us. I have an older brother and an older sister. He took us literally 2, 3, 4 times a year just because he loved it. And then he made us love it. And then once we got into it, it was, I mean, hey, Dad, when are we going again? Hey, Dad, when are we going again?
That's awesome. So, you know, before we get to the trip, what are some of your memories as a kid that really kind of still stand out to you? Because, like, I remember we were down for spring training that one time, passed through the Magic Kingdom for half a day. It rained. And for some reason, and they're always weird memories for me. It was like, I remember going into like a hat shop, which I don't know if it was the Chateau or if it was like a store in Fantasyland, but just the store itself looks so much cooler just in the theming and like the amount of merchandise, you know, over our Six Flags. But is there anything that stands out to you, like looking back as a child, that really stood out about your Disney trips?
So from the ages of like about 7 or 8 to about 10 to 12, my parents, for my birthday, I asked them just take me to Disney for the weekend. So we would go every weekend, and it was just, you know, the five of us, my parents, my sister, my brother, myself. And just, I mean, those trips were so intimate of just us five, like, you know, everyone having a good time. We're doing whatever we wanted, having just fun. And just those trips right there, you know, I remember staying the 1 year at the boardwalk, and then the next year they invited my whole teammates from my team, and then so there was like 25 of us in the park at that point. And just, you know, trips like that were just the regular. So, you know, you kind of, me and my brother are always talking like, oh, remember this trip when we were young and we did this, or remember when Dad did this. And, you know, just memories like that are just unbelievable, and why I enjoy going back every year. Me and my wife, we still go now every single year, guaranteed. We bought Disney points also. My dad has 3 timeshares through Disney, so we're all in.
Absolutely. You are owners, you are invested, you're all in, like they say in college football. So there you go. That totally reminds me though of like trips we would take to Six Flags, you know, because the Six Flags theme park is about 45 minutes from my house. And that's exactly what we do. The ball team would get together, but you guys had it better because you had Walt Disney World. We had a Six Flags, so you win. so let's talk about the trip you took in January. So give us a little backstory on it. How did this all come together? Who traveled, and where'd you guys stay? Then we'll kind of jump into the planning, because you had a big group, which requires many, many hours of planning to execute this just right.
Yeah, so basically it was on Saturday, January 20th. Me and my wife got married in Miami. So all of her family was coming down. Obviously, all my family was there. And she has a niece and nephew. That's now my niece and nephew, but they were at the time 4 and 6. And they went the year before to Disney, but it was one day at Magic Kingdom. We know a person that went with them and said they rode like 2 or 3 rides and that's it. They didn't do anything else. They stood in line all day. You know, it was just wasn't a good experience. So we knew we weren't going on our honeymoon right away, which our honeymoon was Hawaii in June. But we were just like, you know what? I was like, hey, why don't we take, you know, a week? We'll go to Disney. We'll take the kids. We'll take some of your family, you know, since we have the points, and we'll just enjoy it and just not have to come back to work right away. So then, you know, we planned it out, see who all was coming. It ended up being 18 people from her side of her family and 5 from mine. So, but, you know, the 5 from mine were my parents and my grandparents. So they didn't get to go to the park because, you know, my grandparents are a little older. They can't get around that much. So basically the planning started was, let's just talk, see who wants to go. And then thankfully, I was the person that's been to Disney the most, so they all relied on me. They were all, hey, this is on you. You tell us what to do. You tell us where to go, and we'll do it. We're there. Don't matter what you say. So it was the planning was easy, but, you know, I just kind of, you know, you get to feel of like, all right, what is this part of the family like to eat? What do they like to see? What kind of stuff are they into? So that was just kind of the tricky part, but it was just basically talking to them, calling them, saying, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. These are some of the restaurants. What do you guys think? And just kind of going like that, little by little.
You know, I like to ask this because, you know, obviously the folks that come on our show for the most part are kind of the Disney nut in the family or in the friends group. You know, we're all the people that, oh man, you're going again. Well, hey, I'm going. Now you need to help me, you know, kind of that person.
Yeah.
So with that many people, and like you said, with an age range of, you know, probably 60 years or more between youngest and oldest, and you're trying to get all the dynamics down, what kind of resources did you use to kind of pull everything together? You know, like as a travel agent, I do this every day. So I kind of have systems and, you know, I go here for that. I go here for there, you know, that kind of stuff. What did you find worked well for you? Because I know there's somebody listening today that's getting ready to do the same thing.
So for me, it was basically, you know, I've been so many times to Disney, and I basically just went, okay, sat down, we get there Sunday. What's the plan? Monday, I just went day by day and planned it out. And then as I did that, though, I said, okay, Monday or Tuesday, whatever, was Magic Kingdom. I sat there and I went through the whole park. I said, okay, what kind of restaurants do they have? What kind of eaters do we have? So I said, okay, we can kind of tailor it a little bit to, like, okay, we know we have eaters that like to eat meat or like to eat hot dogs. You know, we'll try to stick to that. We'll try to, you know, just, I use the mobile Disney app a lot just to, you know, get the list of restaurants, look at the menus, look through there. And then as I planned each day out, that's when I would discuss it with, you know, my wife, and she obviously knows her family a little bit better than I do. So I would discuss it with her. I would discuss it with her stepbrother, discuss it with her parents, just to kind of see the vibe I'm getting from everybody. Obviously, you know, got to discuss some the money part also. You know, some people can afford more than others. So, you know, you got to keep it in a nice range where people aren't going broke over this trip. So it was a lot of research, but I mean, this is something I love doing. So it was easy. It was fun. And I enjoyed it.
That's awesome, man. I love hearing about this. So how did you guys, let's talk transportation. From you guys were in Miami. Did you guys just all kind of caravan up in a bunch of cars, or how'd that go?
Yeah, we just drove up. It's a 3-hour drive, but it's, I mean, straight shot. You get on the highway and it's literally just straight into Disney World. It's one of the easiest drives you can take. The only thing that, you know, wasn't ideal was it was the Sunday after the wedding. So some people were a little slower moving that day.
I can imagine. Now, did you, because I guess you had some folks too that weren't, you know, as tapped into Disney as most of us, you know, tend to be. Did you kind of give them a little primer before you went, or just let them know what you're getting yourself into? This is going to be, you know, it's not your typical just rest and relax all the time.
Yeah, so her family is from Central PA, you know, a lot of woods and hunting and stuff, so they're not used to going to Disney. So and they know that I love it. Obviously, everyone knows that I love it, everyone that knows me. So, you know, I would just talk to them and say, like, hey, you know, this is what to expect. And then I think them seeing the joy on my face and see how much, like, from pictures that me and my wife go, and they can just see, like, how much fun we have. And I, you know, one of the things I told them, like, look, this is a place you just got to have fun. Like, you got to let go of the real world. You got to forget all how serious you are, you know, what your job is. It's just now you got to enjoy it, have fun. I mean, we're a group of 18 family members. So how can you not have fun, you know?
Absolutely, man. What a way to kind of kick off the marriage and stuff. I'm smiling just thinking about it. So you guys get there, you drive up from Miami. Now, where are you staying? Where's everybody? Because you got so many people. How's it work with accommodations?
So we were able to get a two-bedroom suite or a two-bedroom room at Copper Creek, the Wilderness Lodge.
Nice.
Then we got a couple, five other people to stay at. We got them a room at Boulder Ridge.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I got to stay for one night. We did a kind of a retreat down there in April at Copper Creek for the agency, and we stayed in one of those big villas, man. I'm telling you. I wanted squatter's rights. I never wanted to leave. That thing was nicer than my house.
it was. I mean, it was at this point, it was only a couple months open. And Wilderness Lodge is my favorite resort. And unfortunately, it's not our home resort. But I mean, we're okay. Our home resort is Grand Floridian. But I mean, Wilderness Lodge is my personal favorite. So I was excited that, you know, we got to stay there at the new villas, the Copper Creek ones. And we got to see the Boulder Ridge ones.
Absolutely.
But the only thing was a couple people stayed outside of our property just because we didn't have the points to fit everybody.
Yeah, I could imagine. You're bringing that many people, you'd have to have, you know, I don't know how many points. That'd be crazy. So tell us about staying there. Wilderness Lodge, some people over at Boulder Ridge, some people, you know, with you guys at Copper Creek. You know, all if you don't know, that's all Wilderness Lodge. It's just the different parts of the DVC and the regular lodge. It's all on one, you know, kind of campus, if you're trying to think about it, if you're not a, you know, huge, if you've never been over to Wilderness Lodge. It's one of my favorites too, because for me, the thing about Wilderness Lodge is it's getting better all the time with additions like Geyser Point. The pool area has been upgraded. But the biggest thing for me, is it's very rustic at Wilderness Lodge, but you're a boat ride away from the Magic Kingdom. But it seems you wouldn't know when you're at the Wilderness Lodge, it's peaceful, it's tranquil, and you don't realize the Magic Kingdom is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. It's so peaceful, but you can get there in 10 minutes. So what's it for you? You said it's one of your favorites. Why do you like it so much?
That lobby, when you walk in, there's nothing. You're basically speechless. It's ridiculous. The lobby is incredible. I love the details. That you know, that totem pole right by the gift shop they have?
Yep.
I take a picture every single time that I go to Wilderness Lodge. I have pictures from when I was 3, 4, 5 years old till this trip in January. And there's a picture of me by myself with the pole. And now my wife joins in now also.
That's awesome. I think everybody needs to do that. You need to find something at Walt Disney World that you think will be around, you know, for years and years and years, and get a picture every trip. I love that idea.
And I have a souvenir on my desk at work of that little totem pole, like to hold a picture. It's just one of my favorite things from there.
Here's the thing about that totem pole, though. It's like, I always have a trouble taking a picture of that. Maybe some of our photography buffs can help me out. But either, like, the person is, you know, normal-sized in the picture and the totem pole is not very dramatic-looking, or you focus on the totem pole, but then the person looks like a miniature or something. It's crazy.
Yep, you're right.
It's so weird. So, okay, so that worked out well, though, for what you guys wanted to get out of the vacation, staying, kind of putting some people at the Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek. That in the end it turned out okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, her family's from Central PA, so there are a lot of, they enjoy the outdoors, so I thought this hotel would be a perfect mix, you know, to get them to just kind of feel at home a little bit and see like how Disney does the outdoors, and or, you know, how they do the rustic style and all that. And it was just, I mean, they all loved it. They walked in and they were all their, most of their first times in there, and they were like, this is incredible.
Now, I know how people are from Pennsylvania. I know they do like to hunt, like you just said. Now, nobody went on that path from Wilderness Lodge over to Fort Wilderness and shot Bambi on the way over, right? Because I know there's a lot of deer out there.
No. No, I made sure no one got out of line.
Nobody was armed when they went for their morning stroll over to the Fort Wilderness. No. All right, so let's hit some of the highlights from the trip. You guys went around, and because we got about 20 minutes off, we'll make sure we get all of the good stuff in here. So tell us about, you know, you had the kids, you had everybody, and you were kind of showing them around your favorite place. So tell us about some of the memories.
So, you know, we started, I told everyone before the trip began, I was like, this trip is going to be heavily focused on the kids. I want them to get as much as they can because, you know, they're not going to be able to go every single year. So I was like, I want to do as much as they can. And everybody was on board. It was great. Everyone said, you know what, whatever the kids want to do, we're in. You lead the way. We'll follow you. And, you know, if we need to take a break or something, we'll take it. But don't, you know, it was just, they're like, focus on the kids and make sure. So I was like, okay. Monday morning, or actually Sunday night, we went to Whispering Canyon right off the bat, right there in the lobby. So that was nice.
Yeah, good call. That's one of my favorites. I bet you that was kind of an eye opener for them because it's a great meal, but there's a lot of entertainment in there as well.
Yeah, they weren't ready for it, and you know, we got to get up and do the I'm a little teapot dance, and some of the guys were just like, "What, you know, what's going on here?"
That's a good way to kick it off, though, because it kind of sets the, I don't know, the atmosphere for the entire trip. Like, it's going to be a little zany. It's going to be a lot different than going anywhere outside of Walt Disney World. But it's safe and it's fun. And bottom line is, it's good food, too.
Exactly. And then Monday, we went right into breakfast at Chef Mickey's. We only had a reservation for 13. I couldn't find anything bigger because, you know, we had some issues of, oh, who's going? Or, you know, people weren't sure. So we only got a reservation for 13. But, of course, two of those 13 were the kids. So they absolutely loved it. The food was great. I mean, we ate way too much food. We got to see all the characters, take the pictures, and it was just a good time. I haven't been there in like about 8 years, probably 10 years.
Yeah, I probably haven't been there in 5 years or so, but that's the thing I always remember about Chef Mickey's: great pictures, and I always leave there barely able to walk. I eat way too much, and then it's like, okay, let's go to the Magic Kingdom and ride rides. I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm so full.
Yeah, see, I didn't want to overdo it with the newbies at Disney. So I said, you know what, today, second day after the wedding, some traveling yesterday, I was like, and a big breakfast. So I was like, we'll do downtown Disney, kind of relax, walk around. You know, a couple people have never seen the new downtown Disney Springs, I'm sorry. And they were just, you know, we did a little shopping, had snacks at the Poutine, went to Morimoto Asia, the street food. We went to Sprinkles. We had a couple of drinks at the patisserie. I mean, it was just a good day.
Oh man, how did the kids do though? That's the thing I think that a lot of folks are curious about. Like, when you have kids that young, is there stuff around Disney Springs that'll keep their attention?
Yeah, I mean, we went into the Lego store. We went into the kids store. I mean, that giant the World of Disney store. They were going nuts in there. Cool. Look at this. Look at that. Look at, hey, can we get this? Can we get that? You know. And then when you're feeding them, you know, you're going to Daily Poutine, you're going to Sprinkles, getting them cupcakes and cookies, and you're getting them ice cream here and there. I mean, they're fine. The kids were great. They loved every second of it, and It was just a good day.
All right, I'm going with you next time because it sounds like you're doing Disney Springs the right way. I can tell you that. That is exactly how I would do it. Oh, my gosh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so walk us through, continuing on.
Sorry, Monday night, and then me and the wife had our one romantic dinner. We went to California Grill. We saw the fireworks from the outside balcony, and we just kind of had our like, you know, okay, hey, this is kind of our family moon, but we're going to have a nice dinner just to ourselves. Highly recommend California Grill. Service, unbelievable. Food, unbelievable. The view, I mean, you know, you can't beat that, so...
Yeah, I was hoping you guys would at least have one, you know, like one meal, one night, something like that to yourselves. I mean, you guys just got married. I know you're going on a honeymoon later in the year, but, you know, come on.
Yeah, that was it. That was all the romantic time we had. We just kind of, you know, enjoyed it and then went right back into it Tuesday.
So let's go. That's awesome. You're a team player. You are a family guy. I love this. This is awesome. So what happened on Tuesday? How'd you guys go from there?
Tuesday, we did Magic Kingdom. We Magic Kingdom the full day. I'm a big, big rope drop guy. I like to get there half an hour before it opens, and I like to be there to see everything and, you know, kind of get the mood, see how many people are there and kind of get an idea of what we're going to go into. And that day we had 18 people in the park that I was kind of leading.
So did you have any trouble getting, because it sounds like you're like me, you know, like I like to be there earlier than early, you know, just because, hey, I'm at Disney World. I don't care. I can't sleep anyway. But was everybody as excited as you to be there that early?
Not everybody, but I mean, I had talked to the kids and their father, and I was like, hey, this is what we're doing. He was like, Ron, we do whatever you want to do, whatever time you need me up, I'm there. The kids will be there. And they were just excited just because, you know, it's Disney. We got on the boat to go over the Magic Kingdom, and they were just like, oh, this is, you know, this is just something cool. It's different. So it was easy to get them excited. Some of the other people there weren't as excited, but they were still there. They were still there on time.
That's better than most. I can tell you, I've had family members that want to kill me. So that's at least they're there and in good spirits. So what was it like, their first experience at Magic Kingdom? I mean, it wasn't their first, but I mean, this is going to be probably their best experience at Magic Kingdom, we should say.
It was awesome. I mean, we went rope drop right into Seven Dwarfs. We had fast passes for Big Thunder, Buzz, Jungle Cruise, and then we just kept adding on as the day went. You know, I wasn't, since it was, we only had one day in Magic Kingdom, I was like, we're going to get it all done, or we're going to get most of it done, and we're going to go all day. So people were prepared. I had prepared them mentally before, saying this is what's going to happen, and it was honestly, it was a great day. I mean, we had the fast passes, we ate breakfast at Gaston's Tavern. Everyone had a cinnamon roll, you know, just walking around and watching them, like seeing like why I like it so much, why me and my wife go every year, and then seeing it on their faces, like even some of the older, you know, people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, they were just like, okay, we get it, like we get why you enjoy it. And then seeing their grandkids or their great grandkids, they're just sitting there like, okay, yeah, no, we totally get the draw of Disney. And it was just a lot of fun, honestly.
And that's, you know, that's really what Disney used to promote with their promotional videos that they would send out on the DVDs, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, was really that multi-generational family traveling together, you know, the grandpa taking the, you know, the 3 or 4 year old grandkid, and they're just dancing, or, you know, they're meeting a character and they're both just as excited. 170, 17, you know, that's really the epitome of what a Disney vacation can be and should be, I think, in my opinion. And you actually just threw in a great tip. When you have a group and you're really trying to kind of get a lot done on a Magic Kingdom day, I love that idea of breakfast at Gaston's Tavern, because I always have that cinnamon roll too. That thing is killer. But for the, you know, it's quick. Most people like something, you know, like a cinnamon roll. It's sweet. It'll fill you up for a few hours, but it's something that, you know, there's not a lot of options there. You know, you basically get a cinnamon roll. They have some other pastries, but you're in, you're out, everybody's happy, and you're moving on. You know, you don't get bogged down like you might at a, you know, sit down meal on a day like that.
Yeah, and it's a great value, I think, for the size of it. And like you say, you're in, you're out, you're done, you're moving on with your day. And I think it's a pretty good value for what you're getting.
Now, let me ask you this too, because you guys were there in January. Park hours aren't, you know, as crazy long as, say, like a July or an August or, you know, a June or something like that. But also what you have in your favor is that it's not 100 degrees with 90% humidity like it is, you know, in the summertime. So did you find the weather favorable to help you guys tour so hard and stay in the Magic Kingdom all day?
Oh, it was, I mean, it was perfect. It was, I mean, I think the hottest it got was like 78. And that was like at 1 o'clock. And then after that, I mean, the rest of the day was around 75, 70. I mean, it was perfect, perfect, perfect. No rain, just a light breeze going through. It was honestly the perfect day to go to Magic Kingdom.
So now you're up in Pittsburgh now, but I mean, you're a native Floridian. So are you freezing when it's 60? Or are you like me, I could wear a Speedo in 60 in January?
Oh, no, I've been here 10 years and you know, that winter I'm still trying to convince the wife to move down to Miami because my parents still live there. My sister and her husband live there, but I'm not winning that battle right now.
I can tell you what. Pam Forrester makes it sound like, and I mean, St. Louis has some brutal winters. We get below zero. We get ice and snow and all that junk, and we get over 100 in the summer. It's not a great place to live. But, man, Pam Forrester makes it sound like a winter in Pittsburgh is, I don't know if, like, you know, going to the afterworld could nothing, you know, like, if I have a terrible life, I'm going to end up in Pittsburgh in the winter. That's the way she, you know, frames it.
If we were doing this call in the winter, this call would be going a lot different. You hear it in my voice, I'd be sad and just like, yeah, you know, this is going great, and it's hard. It's definitely hard, but you know, I have my brother here and his family. My wife's family's close also, so you know, it's just kind of, we both met here in Pittsburgh, so it's kind of where we landed, and you know, it's good so far.
Yep, home's where you hang the hat, you know, that's what it is. I love St. Louis because it's where the people I love live, so that's kind of how it goes. All right, so let's get back on track here. So did you get through as much on your Magic Kingdom day as you were hoping? Did you miss anything, or was there any regrets in that day?
There was a couple things we missed, but, you know, I also didn't want to put the kids in too many of, like, lines that I wasn't sure if they were going to like the ride. So I was just like, all right, you know what, we'll do the things that I knew they were going to love. Big Thunder. I knew they were going to love Buzz. I knew they were going to love Jungle Cruise, Space Mountain, Pirates. So I kind of tried to focus on the things they really like. They love the Mine Train. You know, we missed Peter Pan because, you know, Peter Pan, if you're not there first or have a fast pass, you're waiting an hour and a half. And I just didn't want to make that wait with them because I thought there was other things we can go do and go see instead of waiting in line.
I agree with that one. I totally agree with that one because, I mean, honestly, your return on investment for a 90-minute wait, you know, for a 3-minute attraction on Peter Pan, I think it's more on the nostalgia train for somebody that's older that's like, oh, you know, this is a classic. I don't know if it would be – I don't know, like, if a 6- and a 4-year-old would be so excited about waiting 90 minutes to have a 3-minute, you know, kind of dark ride.
Exactly. So I was trying to just focus the day just on them. Like, all right, we got to do a couple things here. I knew we had the older one, the 6-year-old. She did a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. So, you know, I was like, this would be a nice break for us to do, like, Fill Our Magic. And that was, I mean, the 4-year-old absolutely loved Fill Our Magic. And actually, so did some of the older people in our group. They loved Fill Our Magic. You know, so it was just kind of trying to do some things that didn't kind of put a damper on the day and didn't make the kids, like, feel bad, and then they just get tired. Because, you know, those lines can be a little difficult with young kids.
Oh, 100% been there. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Fill Her Magic is one of my wife's all-time favorite attractions. We have to do it multiple times every trip. She loves it. I fall asleep. I don't fall asleep because I don't like it. I fall asleep because it's usually hot in the summer and it's air-conditioned and it's dark and I'm just out. You know, it's like,
yep.
I see the, you know, if I'm lucky, I see the champagne bottles open in the Beauty and the Beast scene, and then I'm back open when, you know, they're fighting with the instruments at the end. That's all I know.
Yeah, Fill Our Magic, that's a definitely do it every single time for me. I mean, Donald's my favorite character, so I gotta go in there and watch him at least.
I like it. So walk us through some of the rest of the trip, because I want to make sure we get this all in before we have to close out. We have about 10 minutes, so highlights from the rest of the days.
So the rest of the day, I mean, it was just, you know, we got to do so many things with the kids that they didn't get to do last time, that they were like, oh, I didn't know this was here, you know. And then just watching them, like, in Monsters, Inc., that was unbelievable. And then my favorite part of the day was looking at everyone's faces, even though everybody was tired, because we stayed for Happily Ever After. Everybody was tired, and they were like, how much longer, how much longer? But when that show started, you can tell everyone looked at me and they said, thank you for making us wait. Thank you for keeping us here the whole day. That was 100% worth it. So that was my favorite part of the day, just looking around. You know, these kids are like, they're looking like, this is ridiculous. This is the best fireworks they've ever seen. And then, you know, the projections on the castle, and just people are just like, wow, I didn't know that you can do that. This was even a thing.
Yeah. And you know what? That is kind of that feeling where I can tell, you know, just as a dad, when I take the family, and they, you know, we've been enough times now, just like you, that it's become kind of normal for my family of my wife and two girls, you know, because we go at least once or twice a year, so we know what to expect. But when you take folks that haven't been and you say, you know what, trust me on this. I know it stinks right now. There's a long wait, or, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to get to something, you know, some kind of attraction. You got to jump through some hoops to make it happen. But when you say, trust me, let's just, I think you're going to enjoy this. And when you get to see them experience that and they got the big smile on their face, really, there's nothing better. You know, it's like, oh man, I knew it was going to be worth it and it paid off.
Yeah. I just kept telling them, like, look, just wait a little bit longer, you know, take a break. They got to a point where, you know, some of the people were like, look, we're just going to go get a spot early. And I was like, that's fine. We'll take the kids. We'll do a couple other rides. We did Buzz again. You know, we did the TTA at night, which was kind of cool to see. And just to kind of keep the kids active. I mean, they were great. They were active all day. They were happy all day. They were just excited to be there. And then once the fireworks started, that's when it was just like, okay, they were like the adults were more like, okay, we get why we're still here. And this is totally worth it.
So was that the end of the trip, or did you guys go for more days, or how'd that go?
Oh, we did more days. We did Wednesday, we did Epcot. Now only 16 people. We lost the great-grandparents. They had to go back home. But Epcot, we did 16 people. Once again, rope drop, got there. You know, we did a couple of the front half rides, attractions, all that. You know, just kind of walk through everything, see the aquarium and all that. And then that day, the kids, they really wanted to go swimming at the pool in the hotel. So the grandparents, they took them back to the hotel. And then the adults that were of age, we were able to do walk around the pavilion and get a couple of adult beverages.
Yeah, man, you know what? That is the best reason to have, you know, a larger group traveling, because like you said, everybody kind of got what they were looking for. You got some adult time, got to experience World Showcase the way it's meant to be experienced, you know, have some drinks, have some snacks, and the kids, you know, when they're that age, man, those pools are so awesome at the Walt Disney World Resorts. Yeah. I mean, that's what they want, and that's what's going to make them happy. And you know what, for a kid 6 and 4, you know, like, that's it, man, to be able to go swimming in those great pools. I mean, everybody's happy at that point.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they left the park at like 1 or 2. I would say closer to 2 o'clock. So we still did, like, you know, the Frozen ride and a bunch of the important ride, like Soarin', they absolutely loved. And we did a good amount of things, but they were just, that's what they wanted to do. We said, you know what, guys, that's fine. This is your trip. The grandparents, they took them back. They went to the hotel, and then the younger adults, we did the whole World Showcase, and, you know, had a beer and a margarita here, and we just had a little bit of fun.
Anything stick out from World Showcase? Any good memories of that day?
Oh, going, I mean, so we started through the Canada side first, and we went through the UK, Canada. You know, we're drinking through, we're getting a drink or sharing a drink through all of them. And we had lunch at the patisserie in France. But just, I mean, the standout was when we got to Mexico. Everyone's feeling good. And then we get there and they're like, oh yeah, let's have a margarita. But we went inside into the pyramid to get it. And they were just like, whoa, this might be too strong.
They don't mess around in La Cava.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. They were all looking at it. We're like, well, we might need to like sit down, maybe get some chips and like relax with this one. And, you know, get a cup of water also with this. So that was, I mean, it and just the adult time of us just, you know, and talking and walking through the buildings, walking through the stores, through the World Showcase. It was a fun time. I mean, it was a really fun group. The group couldn't have been any better. Their attitude was great. Everybody was just there to have fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I say this a lot on the podcast, is when you go on a cruise, it's more fun with friends because you have the opportunity to, you know, to relax and just, you know, disconnect from everything else and really get to spend time with your friends and family, you know, and that's the greatest thing about a cruise. But it's kind of the same for World Showcase. You know, as you stroll through, get some drinks, snack on things, and especially, like you said, share things, and you get to, yeah, you just get a huge variety. But I mean, just that environment of World Showcase is just so much fun with friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that night, you know, we unfortunately had to leave Epcot early. We didn't get to see any of the nighttime shows, but it was for a good reason. We ended up going to Homecoming for dinner.
Oh, now you got my attention. I love some Homecoming. Did you guys like it?
Oh, loved it. I mean, that was my first time, and I've been telling my wife, like, we got to go. You know, we were stuck between there or the boathouse. But, you know, some people in our family are a little bit pickier eaters. So I was like, you know what? Homecoming is straightforward. I know they eat this stuff. Let's just go there. And it was unbelievable. Honestly, just great.
But speaking of, like I said about Chef Mickey's homecoming hurts me. When I walk out of there, it's like, whew, I don't know if I can make it to a bus. I don't know if I can make it across the street to the Coke store. I'm so full, and that was breakfast last time. So it met your expectations. Did everybody like it? I mean, was it up?
Yeah, everyone loved it. I mean, they were just like, this is great. And you know, we were like just entertaining the idea of maybe going next year and talking. And someone in her family was like, hey, we got to go there again. I'm like, oh, I know. Don't worry. If we go, we'll make sure we make a stop there, because it was very, very good.
So I know we're recording this one a little bit early. It's going to come out in a couple weeks, but the Cardinals just hit back-to-back homers off the Bucks. Just so we have an update here in the podcast. I'm pretty excited. I just heard people jumping up and down in my house. That was Mallory upstairs. So, no, let's get back to the Disney talk, even though it is the pennant race here. So wrap it up, though, because we have about 5 minutes left. So highlights from the rest of the trip, because I could talk about homecoming. My mouth's kind of watering right now as we're recording, now that we talked about that.
So Thursday we did Animal Kingdom. We started with 16 people there, but her parents, my wife's parents, and her brother, her sister, and their significant others had to leave early. So it ended up being 10 of us for most of the day. You know, we did Animal Kingdom. I'm sorry, we only got to do the Navi River ride because we were a couple people were a little late that morning, so we didn't get to do Flight of Passage because it was a 3-hour wait at 8:15 a.m. The park opened at 8.
That is crazy. That is just insane. I mean, if it's like that for that, I can't even imagine what Star Wars is going to be like. That just scares me to
exactly.
death.
Exactly. And I was like, you know what? The kids, we were standing in line for about 2 minutes, and I was like, look, this would be a horrible start to the day with the kids. 3 hours waiting in line. And yeah, the ride might be great, but they're not going to be very happy. So I was like, you know what? Let's get out of here. And we just went and did the park. And unfortunately, we missed it. But I know I'm going back next year, so it's fine. Not a big deal.
Here's what I like about, you know, this whole trip is we kind of, you know, wrap this up. It sounds like it was a great trip. But one thing that you just keep coming back to that I think is crucially important for people that are thinking about doing a trip like this, multi-generational with younger kids, is that especially for somebody that's going to get to go back, like many of our listeners, you know, we're very blessed and we get to go back more than once, you know, in our lifetime, maybe once a year, once every few years. The thing is, like, you kept it about the kids, and you knew that as much as, like, there's a temptation, like, oh, Flight of Passage, man, it's the new hotness. It's like what everybody wants to ride. You saw the big picture. You know what? As awesome as that ride is for 4 or 5 minutes, I mean, with younger kids, a 3-hour queue to start the day could throw off the entire day, and it could make it miserable for everybody.
Exactly. So that was my thoughts. You know, I trust me, the temptation was there, and I was like, you know what? Let's not do it. You know, we did the safari early in the morning, and that was great because we saw every animal that was there. You know, sometimes you go and they're like, oh, do you see that spot in the back? That's a cheetah or what? No, every animal that we saw, they were out. They were active. The lion was even walking. Like, he was walking around their rock, just, you know, jumping up and down from rocks. So it was really cool to see. And just we got a lot done in those 3 hours that we would have been waiting in line.
I'll say this about the safari. They always talk about that. I think it's called the okapi. It's the thing they say is like the ghost of the forest or something. I never see that thing. I swear that they're punking me because like my family's in on it. They're like, it's right there. It's up by the fence. I'm like, I do not see it. Like, it's the ghost of the forest. I can't see it. Like, I'm not kidding. I swear. Like,
we
the whole
saw plenty
the whole,
of them. Did that, you okay? That early.
You're in on it too because I never see the thing. Like, everybody in the Jeep sees it except me. I'm like, I'm being punked. There's nothing up there.
I mean, we saw everything. It was awesome. I mean, and then from there, the other highlight of the day for us was, I mean, I've seen it a million times, but I still love it. The Festival of the Lion King show. They
love it. Yes.
Everybody walked out and they were like, this doesn't seem like this should be in a theme park. This should be like somewhere where you have to pay big bucks for to get seats to a show like this, and how well it was done and how well the performers are and just the singing and all that. They were like, that was incredible.
Yeah. My wife and I said the exact same thing. We went to see it this summer just because we needed to kill some time, you know, and it was hot and it was air conditioned. We went in, the show was starting in like 20 minutes. We walked out of there. We hadn't seen it in like 5 years. We're like, God, this is so underrated. We miss this almost every trip. And it's like, we walked out of there like, that show is awesome. Like, we should go every time we're here.
Yeah, it was, they were blown away by it. And then one tip I wanted to throw in on Animal Kingdom is for my wife is not a big roller coaster person, so she doesn't go on Expedition Everest. So I went on with a couple people. We did the single rider line. But a tip that I had that she gave me actually was her and one of the other people on our trip. They just stopped at that bar right there, the Thirsty River Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of drinks while we were on the ride, and I came out. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? She's two drinks in hand, just, you know, drinking away. And I'm like, well, you know what? That's a good tip for the podcast.
And she's like, gotta go ride a couple more times. We're good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, we're running low on time here. So, Ron, let me ask you this. So, looking back on this trip, it's been so much fun talking about it. I mean, lots of laughs today. It's a great way to start a Monday, I can tell you that. But, you know, what's the biggest takeaway from this? Like, if you wanted to tell somebody that's thinking about being crazy and taking a group of 20, all kinds of different ages, all kinds of different backgrounds, but they're the big Disney fan, they want to share what they love, what would you tell them right now? What should they think about?
Just, I mean, you know, obviously do the planning like you normally would for you and your family, but just kind of have a goal for the trip. You know, some people won't go all the time, so you know you're going to be there more than once. So for you, don't make the trip about yourself. Make it about everybody else, but also be very open with them. Like, hey, what do you like to eat? Okay, you like to eat this sort of food? Okay, perfect. And you know, kind of get a feel for everybody, let them know. And then also beforehand, like, kind of just let them know, like, hey, this is how this trip's going to go. Like, you know, it's a little bit crazy sometimes, but it's definitely worth it. So, you know, just bear with me, and then just kind of get everyone on the same page. And once you do that, I mean, this trip was super easy. There was no fights, no like arguments of, oh, we should do this. No, it was just people said, hey, whatever you think we should do, we're going to do it. Let's do it. And that's, you know, what did the kids want to do? We're going to do what they wanted to do. So it was just easy. Just be upfront with everyone and kind of, you know, think about what their needs would be and see, and, you know, plan it that way to see what they like.
Man, you know, this is why I love having the show, because lots of great tips in here for planning. Lots of great tips today. We appreciate that. But I mean, also, I feel like I was walking through World Showcase with you. I was at the lodge with you. We were in the Magic Kingdom. I mean, this is what this is all about. So I know that it was, we had to reschedule this one, but thank you so much for taking the time, Ron, and you have a great week, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yes. Thank you very much, and thank you for dealing with my schedule issues yesterday.
No problem. All right, don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. There's two great books there, and author Jeff Barnes shares his connection, how Walt Disney chased his dreams down, got the most out of those around him. You can read about this in both of the books, and also kind of a self-help book. It's going to help you apply Walt's lessons that he left behind for us to make your relationships better with your friends, your family, your coworkers. Just check it out today. It's a great website. Lots going on there over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And you also want to stay out of lines and have a blast with those that you're traveling with. And you can do that with a premium subscription to touringplans.com. Check out all the great services they offer, again, over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, you can support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help support the show anytime you do some shopping on Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Ronald, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.